Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. It's time to go arty and join our Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Ennis. Well, in the Sistine Chapel. I was tempted to do this simply because the other day I was going up to the Hall of Benedictions to do a live commentary of a papal mass, and on my way up popped into the Sistine Chapel for a quick and, I should add, very privileged peek at the Last Judgment fresco, catching the eye of some of those so-called goodies in Michelangelo's masterpiece there. Right, I thought to myself, next time I meet Breda, I'll ask her about these particular characters. And that's exactly what I did.
Yes.
Zoom in on the Last Judgment. Are you going to speak to me about the goodies or the baddies right at the bottom of the fresco?
Well, I prefer the goodies today.
Okay, so
because I'm feeling in a good mood.
To focus on the exact point, they're the
yes.
ones on...
On the left side of...
As you look at the great fresco of the Last Judgment.
Yes.
Let's begin by putting the spotlight on the central figure in this fresco with a wonderful cornflower blue backdrop.
Just run your eye in a straight line right up. You'll start on the top and you'll have Christ with this extraordinary hand raised in judgment, but judgment in a majestic and very spiritual way, not judgment in the way we tend to think of judgment when we do it ourselves sometimes, you know. And then you have the Madonna at his side, looking very compassionate and very serene, but you can see that she feels for what is about to happen. And then just way below them, you have the angels calling on the dead to arise and be judged. And then just below them again, at the bottom, you have this horrible little hole in the ground full of demons, devils, every kind of imaginable awful stuff.
Earlier I mentioned the blue, but Michelangelo also painted in a bit of green land, no?
Obviously he had to have the land to have the people resurrect from the dead, from the burial. And here in the middle you have this chamber of devils, which is terrifying to look at and ghastly. I think he must have worked very seriously at getting the most horrible expressions that he could possibly find. If you think of the entire fresco of the Last Judgment as this continual tension between the good and the bad and salvation and damnation, Michelangelo was able to express this tension just using the body and the minimal elements of nature like clouds, ground here and some rocks, but very little. So at the bottom here on the left-hand side, you have a group of people who are in a sort of green piece of land with behind it, strangely enough, something that looks like to me like distant mountains. If the person who is looking at the fresco just concentrates very specifically on the figures, you will find at the back almost very pale tinted figures that are not completely painted. And then in front of that, then you find... Just at that type of, let's say, horizon of land, you'll find a skeleton dressed. And then just beside that again, you find another person who's already becoming reformed and coming out of a shroud, trying to look upwards. And then you have other people who've already come out of the ground who are looking towards the other people. And the people who've come out and are completely out are all looking up towards Christ at the top part of the fresco. Then you have various, for example, here, this is a very dramatic figure here on the left. just to the immediate left of the devil's area, you have this figure who's being pulled up. He's reformed, he's resurrected, he's being pulled up by a good angel. Now, these are angels without wings.
He's upside down.
Yeah, he's upside down. He's literally being pulled up because below you will see that there is a devil with horns. They're trying to pull him back down again. So even when there is the resurrection, you have this almost like this battle going on between
tug of war.
Yeah, tug of war between the good angels and the baddies, you know, and the devils, you know, the bad angels, let's say, because they are. And they were good angels at one point and became bad angels. And again, here the figure, you see this figure pulling the hair. I mean, you can feel the tension. You'd almost feel that he's just going to split in two, this figure. So to do this in painting terms is quite difficult, to create this massive tension. So what he does here, Michelangelo, is there's one figure, one of the angels, is wearing a green robe and literally has the legs of this gentleman over the back, over the shoulders, pulling. And then there's another angel nearby trying to give a little bit of help, let's say. So you can imagine this angel holding the legs at the other side of the figure. So this massive tug of war going on, as you say, to pull this person up into the heavenly area. And the devil is not actually wasting his energy below either, because you can see him pulling just as hard below.
There's two angels for a devil.
Yes. Yeah, well, this devil is also, you see the way he's
painted.
Yes, yes, actually. And then next to him, look at this other figure here. Very muscular figures. There's another person being pulled up again by an angel, but you can see that they still have part of the funeral robes around them. They look like they've just woken up and sort of dazed, you know.
There's an amazing amount of things going on there.
Yeah. And again, you see here, if you look at the colour of the skin on the figures here, those who are completely formed and who actually look alive are more near the natural colour of the human body. And as we go up, let's say, to the left side of the frescoes, you go up into the sky, now where the people are actually released from the ground, they're fully formed and they're being pulled up towards the heavenly area, and you have angels leaning over clouds trying to help them, to pull them up. And the other angels are just pulling and pushing, but trying to get them up, and you have saints coming down to bring them up and help them. And again, you see these two figures here. There's a figure dressed in green and one in red, and they're leaning over the side of a cloud to help a figure. This figure has already already made it, actually. But you see the skin of this person here and this person as well here, three or four of them, let's say, and they all have skin that looks more human. Down here you see that the skin is grey, so it's the colour skin of the skin is more to
a corpse.
Well, yes, in fact, yeah, in fact. So you're going from a skeleton to a corpse, to a semi-corpse. And then figures who are half formed. And again, here there's a figure of a monk, dressed as a monk here, you see, helping a nun in the resurrection, coming out of the grave. And then underneath, just above the door in the Sistine Chapel, which I believe is the room of tears, no? Just there to the left of the main altar when the Pope is elected. Just above that, you also see a figure crawling out from under a tombstone. And it's half yes and half no. The figure is going to come out and join the other figures who are already formed. But it's interesting to see that some of the figures, when they come out of the ground, almost like they rest their arms, like they're exhausted from the process. So you get the feeling that the actual act of resurrection
is a struggle.
It's a struggle. When they come out, the devils are also waiting to try and get as many of them as they can. And you see here, there's another figure just behind. This man has just come out. Again, he's very near the door on the left-hand side of the chapel. You see here, he's leaning his knee, his foot on the ground there, and he has his two arms and his hands pressed on the ground. And right behind him, you can see actually a skeleton with the face with the empty eye sockets. Dressed again in the funeral robes. It's very strange. And way down at the bottom here is a figure which some people theorize belonging to Michelangelo, where he's actually dressed in the robes, looking out at the spectator. Because most of the figures in the Last Judgment are looking up towards Christ. Trying to struggle or looking at the angels who are trying to save them. This figure here is looking out into the chapel. You can actually feel him, see him looking out into the chapel. And it's almost like Michelangelo is saying, "Let me out of this fresco, if you don't mind." I've come to the end. But you just get this feeling like he's just going to fall into the chapel. It's very nice. I mean, I would say that that's a lovely piece of Baroque painting. Because, I mean, the figures in Baroque paintings are just ready to move out of the painting and get involved with what you're doing, or vice versa. They invite you into the painting to get involved in what they're doing in the painting. And here you have this Michelangelo figure-like person struggling out of the ground, out of his grave, to fall into the chapel. Like, it's you're the next one. Or
so Baroque artists didn't invent anything?
No, I don't think so. I think they just elaborated things that were already floating around. But again, you see, if when you look at this lovely movement, it's very melodic. It's very musical. The Last Judgment for me, it's music and expression. And all the faces. Well, if you think about 400 figures in the entire fresco, and every expression is different. Every single expression. There are no two that are alike. And this lovely feeling of floating up, and then this other feeling of pulling down, and this other feeling of struggling to get out of a space that's confined like a grave, obviously, and then struggling to, let's say, get your skin back on you, and then to try and figure out which side of the scales you're going to be going on.
Our thanks there go, as always, to Breda Ennis, a professor of fine arts at the American University of Rome. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.